The Bible says that the work that Jesus started in us, He's faithful to finish. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll tell you what's on my heart is, you know, the devil has done a very good job about trying to keep the church from talking about certain things. Because the devil, he's an imitator. There's nothing original about him. And so everything that he's got, he's copied from God and he's twisted it, put his own perverted, work upon it. And so there's certain things then that the church doesn't like to talk about because it sounds New Age. With that thought and that understanding, you know, there's a lot of things that we miss out on because we everything that we don't use in and out of the Word of God, listen to this by the Spirit of God, everything that you and I don't use out of the Word of God, the devil will use the Word of God against us. So, we need to know that God give us the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Thank God we're living in the New Testament, the better covenant, but we learn so much from the old covenant. Amen. What I want you to be listening by your spirit this morning about is to recognize and realize that everything around you and everything about you puts out a frequency, puts out a scent. And, you know, when we start talking about these things, and like I said, you know, said, boy, that sounds awful New Agey, but it's the truth. The stars, the creation of God, they're putting out their own frequency. And everything that you and I can see and touch in the natural has come from the pattern of the spiritual. And so with a frequency of sound, there's also a frequency that causes, enables, empowers you and I to be able to smell. And so the words that you speak, it comes from a vibration, a frequency. Everybody has their own unique voice tone, and that's a frequency. But your words, they can have words of sacrifice which can smell sweet. Or they can have words of sin which can smell. So you see what we're talking about and where we're going this morning. And I want you to see that, hold this before we ever go anywhere else. The Bible says that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you were named into the family of God. Amen? And so that word named means there was a title that was attached to you. There was an appellation. And it become, thus saith the Lord over your life. And so the reason why we're talking about this morning is because God is calling you and I to lead people. Now that makes us uncomfortable in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul said, he said, I want people to follow me as I follow the Lord. So you and I today, we're wanting to get people to follow. They're not really following us, but they're following the Jesus in us. Amen? But you're in this dispensation of time, as it's winding down and the door of grace is closing, you and I need to get people to follow Jesus through us. Amen? And so that's why we're going to look at this morning. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, let's start at verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving the frequency of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And finally in verse number 8, but be ye not therefore partakers with them. Verse number 7, be ye therefore not partakers with them. Verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes, say sometimes, darkness, but now ye are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Brother Corey, would you pray? Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Corey. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. It's such a blessing to be able to be in the house of the Lord together. I thank the Lord God for the freedom that we have to be able to do this. And I think that we never need to take for granted what God has gave us. As we hear back from our missionary over in India, the things that is happening over there right now, that God is showing that He's greater, but you know, we take a lot of things for granted. We're blessed over here to be able to come and go as we would and worship God as we would choose to do that, and I'm thankful for that. I heard this phrase, don't let it offend you, but this is what the Spirit of God wants us to help people do. You know, a lot of times people like to just spray the Lysol, you know, when they need to get the trash out. And so thank God for Lysol, but the best thing to do is just to take the trash out, amen? And so this morning, I want you to see yourself in Jesus Christ as a leader. And you've got to know that you're being led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by the great shepherd, and you're led to lead, okay? And that's on my heart. We're going to be talking about that in the coming weeks. But you are led to lead. And so this morning I want us to see some things and understand some things. Notice what he said. Let's tie these verses of Scripture together. He said in verse number 1, be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, I love that because that word be simply means because you have been born again, there was a regenerative process that has taken place in your life, and you just got to be God's child. You know, and God is doing the work in you. Amen? And because you're, as a child of God, you're humbling yourself, you're yielding to the Spirit of God, and you're trusting God with that childlike faith, and you recognize that He is the God that is your Father, and you just rest in that, you can just be what God called you to be. Amen? And you know, so many people today, they go, well, I'll come to church when I can do this and when I can do that. And they'll never be able to do it. And so we want to help them to say, listen, if you'll just trust God as your Father by believing in Jesus Christ, you can just be what God has called you to be. Amen? And that's what we want to help people do. We want to lead them in that truth. And he says, if we'll do that, he said that we would be followers of God. Now, this word followers, it's mimetes in the Greek, and it means to be an imitator. Now, that excites me, and that makes the devil mad. That makes the religious people mad, because you and I are to walk in this earth the way Jesus did. And Jesus said for us to do what He did, amen? And so we're to imitate God. We're not raising ourselves up. We're raising the faith in the One who saved us up, amen? Our confidence is in that Savior that was nailed on that cross, and the cross couldn't hold Him. The tomb couldn't hold Him down. That's the One that you and I are living for, amen? And so we can imitate Him. And the way that we can imitate Him is we can offer our lives as a living sacrifice. And when we offer our lives as a living sacrifice, there is a smell, there is a scent of thanksgiving. There is a scent that comes off your life, off my life, that brings God glory. And every time Jesus Christ is exalted and lifted up and the glory is given unto Him, there is a drawing that takes place. And that's what you and I want. We want people in our lives, people in this community. We want those who are lost and undone, those who are hurt and backslidden, who are damaged by all sorts of avenues and plans of the enemy. You and I want to be in a place, in a position where we can let the smell of the Lord come off out of our lives that will touch them. Amen? Now, notice what it says. He said in verse number 2, he said that you and I have the ability, because we're imitating Jesus, to walk in love. Oh my goodness. Isn't that something? Because right now what the world needs more than ever is a revelation of the love of God. They need to know that God loves them so much Romans 5:8, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, while we were yet sinners, that God demonstrated his love for us. Amen? We need to walk in that love, and we need to just allow the love of God, that smell of sacrifice, that smell that takes away sin, that scent of hope. Come on, there's a smell to anticipation, of expectation, of faith, of hope in Jesus Christ. There's a scent there. And so you and I, we can walk in that. And he said that we could do this because as Christ has also loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, this is interesting. He uses two different Greek words for there in sweet smelling and savor. And both of them in different forms mean fragrance. So the fragrance upon fragrance. You know, it's kind of like the glory of God and the glory of God. It's like faith unto faith. It's, in other words, everything builds upon the principle of the Word of God. And you have to have the Word of God. I have to have the Word of God in my life, which is Jesus. And we've got to present this word to a group of people that is lost and undone, that's hurt and backslidden, that's turned away, and show them that Christ, that he wants to adhere himself to them. See, Victoria said something about Stephen the other day. She said, he smells just like Dad. See, you smell like who you hang around with. You smell like who you're close to. See, the devil wants you to think that you're not representing God in the power that you are, but you know who you hang around with. See, every time you hear these words that are destructive, that are negative into your spirit, the devil is a liar and the father thereof. And he wants to convince you that you're not having an impact. But see, that the scent of the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is upon you because you're walking as Christ walked. Now, to mean to walk as Christ walks, that makes people nervous because they go, boy, you don't know my life. Well, you don't know mine either. But God knows our life through the sacrifice of Jesus. And that sacrifice, that blood is there. And we're going to look at the Word of God in just a minute. The blood of Jesus is always talking. It's on the mercy seat, and it speaks. Now, what you and I have got to do, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we've got to make sure that we let the blood of Jesus speak for us instead of our feelings, instead of our circumstance, instead of what's happening around us. So, this morning, I want you to see here that he said that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there in verse 2, that offering was a sweet-smelling savor, was a fragrance upon fragrance. So, in other words, all the works that Jesus did, they put off a scent. And that scent drawed people to God the Father through him. And as he walked in those things, it made the reality, it made the possibility of having a life different real. See, they could smell expectation. They could smell hope. They could smell confidence. And then they could hear him talk. And as he talked, the frequency of his voice was the voice that always created hope. Amen? So there was a frequency there about Jesus. But all of a sudden then, it seems like that Paul completely lets the tar run off the vehicle. But no, he's bringing us to an understanding so we can see that the sin that is in this world, that it does the opposite. Amen? So let's go over this. Verse number 3. He said, but. So take your little marker and mark right under that word but. And that word but, that conjunction there, conjunction is tying this with the previous verses to let us know and let us to see that Christ, his good works, his words had a smell, had a frequency to it. And so these other works have a frequency to it. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, we need to understand some things, and we need to see, you know, say, I'm named into the family of God. Yeah. Okay? So when you get named into the family of God, you go under a new name. Amen? See, the devil wants to bring up your past, and he'll even send people around you that knew what you did, knew what I did before, and they'll bring up that past because he wants us to try to stay under that title. But we don't represent that anymore. We represent the God who saved us. And so here, as Paul is tying this scent together, this frequency, I want you to see that as the works of God brings out a scent of the glory of God, the works of this world brings out a scent of the devil. And so, now we're here to help people, okay? We're not here to discourage people. I want you to see this is how you and I can lead people out of where they're at. Because we can say, listen, right now you're dealing with whatever sin. You know, that's between them and the Lord. And it seems like that you can't get away from that sin. You can't get over that sin. I've got a message for you. I've got the answer for you. I can tell you how you can overcome that, how you can get past it. Because, see, if the scent of obeying and following Jesus brings God glory and it looses His holy angels to work in your life and in my life, then the scent of this sin, things that are alive, they come together. Things that are dead attract deadly things. Amen? And so, notice what he says there. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. So he's getting into the voice and the frequency. You got the smell of Christ, you got the frequency, the voice of Christ, you got the smell of the world, you got the voice of the world. And so, he says, if you want to come out of those things and you want to walk in the love of God, you want to have the victory that only Jesus Christ can bring you, recognize where you're hanging around, recognize what you're saying, and then come and line it up with what thus saith the Lord. Now, let's see this just for a second. He wants us to get it in our heart. He said that, let this not once be named among you as you become a saint. In other words, when the devil brings up your past and he starts trying to attach that to you, you immediately got to stand against him. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you've got to submit, and the way that you've got to submit is you've got to take God's word above what you're feeling. Because a lot of times I don't feel like what God says I am. A lot of times I don't feel like I have the victory. I don't have the triumph. All of these things. But I've got to see that the devil's trying to get me to back up on my testimony. He's trying to change my frequency. He's trying to change the very sin of my life. Because this word right here where it says, let it not be once named among you as you become a saint, it means to title you. See, the devil wants to title you and I under our former sin. And he wants to title and label and name people because, see, if something has a name, that's what it is. But you and I were named into the family of God. There is a new name written down in glory. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life by the blood of Jesus. And God doesn't associate our past mistakes, our past sins, with our present understanding of who we are in His Son. Amen? So we want to help people. We want to lead them out of that, and we want to show them that they've got to change their attitude. They've got to change their words by filling up with the Word of God and seeing that they are a vessel that can only hold salt or sweet, bitter or sweet. There's only two sources, right? God or the devil. And we want to help them fill up with the Lord. Amen? And so you and I are in a place and a position where we can bring this great truth to them and they can walk no longer in darkness, but they can walk in the life of the light of the Lord. But let's see how there's a lot of times people are given a prophetic word. And the Bible tells us to judge that prophetic word, judge it. But what we've got to recognize and realize that God has a will. God's not willing that any should perish, right? They all come to repentance. But guess what? People are dying and going to hell every 2 seconds. Somebody's dying. And so that's not God's will. But so God's, his word went out. That's a prophetic word. But you've got to war for what God has said for you. It's not just going to come to you. It's not just going to come to me because there is an enemy out there. Amen? And he wants to take that word away from you. So let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's see how, because we want to be able to meet people where they're at and to be able to influence them in a positive way. Go to Genesis 25. Now, the Bible says, the prophetic word from the Lord was that the firstborn male was to receive a double inheritance and was to be the spiritual head of the family, right? Okay, that's God's word. That's a prophetic word that went out, and that was the way it was supposed to be. And so, stay with me. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Verse 27, Genesis 25:27. It says, "And the boys grew." This is Isaac and Rebekah's children. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." Verse 28, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." We got a problem, don't we? Creating competition, creating animosity and stuff. We've got to be careful. God gives us a love that is unyoked. It's equal. We've got to follow the leadership of the Lord. Now notice what it says. Verse 29, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint." Verse 30, "And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called," what? "Edom." What does Edom mean? What's the color of the Russian flag? Esau's the father of the Russian people. He was called, he was named, he was titled. Remember what we just read in Ephesians. See, he was hungry, but he was more interested in what his flesh was feeling, what his desire of the moment was. Brother Corey's leading us in Sunday morning about the study of the little G's, the little gods. The little gods will try me, will to see whether our true alliance lays. Amen. Now he comes in and he smells. Remember, everything puts off a scent. He smells that red pottage. He's hungry. He's the firstborn. He's the one that's supposed to carry on what Abraham had gave to Isaac, what Isaac was supposed to give to him. See, there's a whole group of people out here, they have fell by the wayside because somebody hasn't loved them the way that they could have loved them in a God kind of love, hasn't raised them up. But God's a God of great grace, and there's a revival coming. There's an awakening coming. There's a move of the Holy Ghost coming that's going to bring people in. Amen? But the scent is not going to be for something that's temporal. The scent is going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. Now notice what happens. Verse 31. "Jacob said," this is a fine brother, isn't it? "Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." So in other words, for a moment of time, what the flesh was feeling, his hunger, his desire, overwhelmed God's destiny for his life. We look at that and we say, oh, that's so silly. You know how many times I've done the same thing? Not necessarily for a bowl of soup, but for whatever I was looking for or needing. So here's what God's wanting to do. He wants people outside of His covenant grace to be able to be fed with the true goodness that He has for them. He wants them to know that they can be forgiven, that they can be restored. He wants them to know that the devil is trying to steal the birthright, the prophetic word out of their life, but if they will hold on, if they'll war the good fight of faith, if they'll trust Jesus, if they'll come in out of the world and they'll just come into a relationship with God through Jesus, that He will do more than they ever dreamed of. Amen? That's our message to people. That's what we've got to get into their heart. We've got to show them God is not a God that is looking and laughing about hell. He's a God that is weeping over people who are dying without His covenant grace. Amen? So what we want to do is show them, hey, listen, you may have made some mistakes. And under the old covenant, I'm sorry, it's all over. But we're under the new covenant. There is a moment and a time now of God's grace. God's grace restores people. Amen? God's grace takes and gives back to them what the weakness of the flesh and what the power of the devil has stole from them. And that's what you and I have got to preach, teach. That's what we've got to live to lead them into the truth. Amen? So I want you to see in your mind's eye, I want you to see that stew boiling on that pot. And I want you to think about the time that you were so hungry. And I want you to put yourself in that position. But then I want you to see that Jesus, He starved Himself that we could be fed. He thirsted that we could drink of the living water. Amen? He went through all the Bible says He become poverty that you and I could become rich. Now money is good and great, but that's not just about money. That's about the richness of God. Amen? The abundance of lifestyle, of a fellowship, of knowing God through His Son. Amen? Oh, what? Nothing in this world could touch that. Amen? All right, so here we are this morning. We're in a place and a position where we've got to see that there's something that we need to give out to people, that we need to allow it to be real to us. Now, we're fixing to get to the positive, but I've got to look at one more negative. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and I want you to see that the smell, the scent of the pull of the devil, it's strong. And so you and I, we've got to make sure that we're obedient in the smallest of detail that the Lord gives us. Or I don't care how strong you think you are, how strong I think I am, we will fall. The Bible tells us that, you know, don't deceive yourselves. I can't deceive myself. Amen. And so can you imagine, what would you do this morning if an angel come to your house and gave you a message from the Lord God Almighty? You know, immediately we think, well, boy, if God sent an angel to my house, I'd be Johnny on the spot. Whatever He said to do, I would do. See, we're not there. And we can think we would do this, and we would think we can do that, but we don't know unless we're walking in that person's shoes. Amen? So one verse, for sake of time, look at verse 32, Luke 17, 32. Out of the mouth of Jesus, look what Jesus says. Remember Lot's wife. Now, just think about what that household saw. Remember, Lot took the message to his whole household, and his sons-in-laws, they laughed at him. See, there's a lot of situations where people have that they're being pulled by this world. Now, can you imagine as they're coming out that it says in the Bible that the angels, but given the grace of God, they literally grabbed Lot, his wife, and the daughters, grabbed them by the hands and led them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they not only saw them, they felt them. And you realize that what the Bible says about the angels that have been in the presence of God, the glory of God that is on them. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that one angel that comes to the earth has been in the presence of God in such a way that His glory lights the whole earth. So can you imagine here these angels are, and they lead them out. And the one command was, don't look back. But see, to everybody else, the Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah smelt like brimstone. But to her, it smelt good. Because now, wait a minute, before we judge her too hard, you've got to see the love of a mother. You got to see the love of friends and all of those that left behind. The there's something about the love of a mother and the love of a mother-in-law and all of these things. So I'm not judging her, but I'm saying there's some things, if you're not careful, that I'm not careful, that we need to help people to see that they've got to look to Jesus. Because if they don't, the devil will take what God has gave them and pervert it and pull them away from God's destiny, amen, from His perfect plan. So there she is, and she looks back, and that she become the pillar of salt, and all of these things. You know the story very well. But we're not looking at the negative, we're looking at the positive. So that was the bad thing that happened, but you and I can be used by God to lead people, to cause them to look to Jesus rather than to think that something behind is better. There is nothing behind us on the other side of the cross that is worth our attention. Amen? Not one thing, because God has got things that the eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but it's being revealed to His people by His Spirit. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's got greater things for you and I. And we want to tell people that are outside of the covenant that you think that that is satisfying you. You think that is pleasing you. You think that is helping you. Let me tell you, the one who made all things wants to live in your heart. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to hold you by the hand, and He wants to whisper His secrets in your life where your life can come up above all the limitations of the world. That's the message that we've got. Amen? Now, go with me over to the... let's look at the blood of Jesus just for a second. And then we're going to look at something else. But go with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12, I think it's verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 24. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Say, that's where I'm at. I'm in the new covenant. Come on. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. Now, the Bible tells us that when Cain killed Abel, that God come to Cain, and He said, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the earth. See, they've proven it now. We know by science that your blood, my blood, the blood that God has gave us for life, that it puts out a certain frequency. It can be tested and tried. It puts out... This is how God knows everybody. Your DNA, your uniqueness, the fingerprint of God is on you, and you speak in a way that goes straight to the heart of God, and God knows everything about you because everything is in the DNA. See, from the foundation of the world, God put in you all the gifts and the calling of God. It's in you. And all you've got to do is let it be. Amen. But you got to hold on to what God says and not let the situation, the circumstance take it away from you. Amen. So let the blood speak. So here's how we help people get delivered. They come up to you and they go, listen, I did it again. And you go, that's okay. Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you took it to Jesus? Then you say, you let the blood speak for you. The blood says that your sin is washed away. Come on now. But then you tell him, let the blood speak to the devil when the tempter comes. When the tempter comes, says, boy, you know how good that tastes. You know how good that feel. Come on, let the blood speak. Come on, come on. If I ever talk to the devil, I'm defeated. I don't know how strong you are, but if I ever yield to what he's saying and I try to talk to him, the next thing I know, I'm picking myself back up out of the dirt. Because even Michael the archangel, he said in the book of Jude, when the devil come to talk to him, he said, I ain't talking to you about that. The Lord rebuke you. So if Michael had enough sense not to talk to him, why would I think that I could? What happened to Adam? What happened to Eve when they... Don't waste your time. And so we got to help people. So here's what we do. We tell them, listen, let the blood speak for you. Let the blood call you what you are. The blood says you're an overcomer. But you've got to testify. You've got to prophetically war for that word that has been prophetically spoken over your life. You've got to war for it. How do you war for it? You pray the word of God. And you say what God says about you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. Paul's talking about forgiveness in verse 10. And you and I walk in forgiveness, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Hold that in your mind. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, stay with me. He said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went thence unto Macedonia. In other words, level by level, obedience to obedience brings us to new places in God. Paul said, you just walk by faith and you walk out the word of God, the call of God, the leadership of God, and this is what it starts bringing in your life. Look at verse 14. Now, Paul says, because I've done these things, I'm not ignorant of his devices, and I'm following God's Spirit, I'm building upon the word of God. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me, put your name in there. It says us, but he's talking about you. You're included in this, amen? Causes us to triumph in Christ. Now see, we've got to help people to look at things differently. See, people think that if they slip up and they say something they shouldn't say, that God's mad at them. The Bible says that I always triumph. Now here's the key. See, we look at a mistake as a defeat. You have not made a mistake of defeat if you let the blood speak for you. Come on, if you're in the place of repentance, if you're in the place of dependent upon the cross, if you're in the place, and so we've got to help people. People have stopped coming to church because how many times have you heard them say, I just can't live it? No, you can't. But Jesus will live it through you. He will empower you. He will embolden you. So I may make a mistake. And sometimes I get so aggravated at myself because I didn't see what the enemy was doing. I was ignorant of that device. But I come and I say, Lord, I didn't see it. I know that you probably had something for me, but I missed it. I want the blood to speak for me. And guess what? God's not mad at me. God wraps his arms around me. He lifts me up and he says, now you go tell somebody else how much I love you and how much I love them, that I'm a God of restoration. I'm a God of empowerment. You know, all of a sudden then, that thing that tripped me up, I see it for what it is, and it doesn't trip me up anymore because I can see the goodness of God, the love of God, the power of God. I can see the victory of the cross. Amen? And this is what we want to tell people. We're going to help them, and we're going to see God change their life. Amen? Now notice, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest, mark this down in your Bible, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. Now I want you to think about this just for a second. Next time the devil gets on you. Paul said that everywhere he went, there was a triumph, there was a victory. And it brought a savor. Now let's hear from Paul just for a minute. What did Paul say? Paul said, I am the chiefest of all sinners. I'm an apostle called out of time. In other words, he said, I don't feel like I'm in my right place and I'm a chief sinner. So you got to help people to see that everybody wasn't perfect that's in the Bible. There's not one but perfect, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And so Paul says, I've made all these mistakes, but though I don't call myself a sinner in the sense of what I am now, that's what I used to be. That's how I felt. But now I'm leading people as I'm following Jesus. And he said, I bring a savor. I bring a smell. See, the devil wants you to think that your sin is your defeat. No, your sin is a sign of the cross. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But to the glory of God, the cross brings us back to the place where our sin is washed away. Amen? He said, by the savor of his knowledge, by us in every place. See, people don't know they need a sinner unless you tell them your testimony. See, if we're not careful, we sit around, you know, oh, look at me. All is well. Yeah, I'm never like other people. What kind of smell does that bring? Makes me turn and go the other way, don't you? But when we're honest, God loves honesty. Notice verse 16. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now he said that after he said verse 15, now look at 15 again. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You see how important you are? People are perishing all around us, but your scent is going out and it gives them an opportunity to smell the goodness of God. And they don't have to stay perishing. Now we know that not all is going to be saved. We understand that. But thank God for those who are. Amen. Can we look at just one more? Go with me to Gospel of Luke. I mean, Gospel of John. We haven't got time for that. Gospel of John. Yeah. John chapter 12. You know, in Luke, you got the story that you've heard preached and taught a million times, Mary and Martha. We've all heard it. But what Mary did in Luke 10 built the principle of what happened in John 12. See, the reason why you are where you are today is because you obeyed God yesterday. And you're building on some things. And I want you to tell you, I want you to be so encouraged that the aroma that is coming out of your life is not only going to please and bless the Lord, but it's going to touch the whole house. And there's going to be some that's not going to understand, but there's going to be some that will. Amen? So you're serving God, you're pleasing God, not man. So if man's not pleased, don't worry about it. You just keep walking. Amen? All right. Verse 1, John 12 and 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There made him a supper, and Martha served. Mark that down. Thank God for workers. But don't stay a Martha. Be a Mary too, okay? Everybody's got their part, but you can't serve God if you don't sit down with him. Amen? So nothing has changed since in her life. But Lazarus was with them and sat at the table with him. Now notice, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. This here is for the anointing of Jesus' sacrifice. Come on, this is for the anointing of death. This here is a very valuable possession. This is a year's worth of wages for her. And she brings this for this very purpose. Then Mary took an ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his hair with her hair. And the house was filled. Notice that. The house was filled with the ointment. Now, first of all, you're the house of the Lord. You know that. And so you're filled with this same anointment, anointing of ointment. But at the same time, you go into houses. Remember what Jesus said, when you go, go two by two. And I know he's talking to his disciples, but he's talking about you go with the Lord today. And so when you go into a house, speak peace. And if they receive it, it'll abide. If it don't, then it'll come back on you. All right? So you're going from house to house. And you have the ability to bring this anointing, this drawing, this scent of Jesus' death, which Jesus' death means resurrection. Because death couldn't hold him. And he destroyed the works of the devil. Amen? So everywhere you're going, you're bringing the revelation to people that, hey, the devil may be working all around you, but let me tell you about the one that's working in you. I don't care what the devil's doing on the outside. I want to know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing on the inside. Amen? He's on the throne of our heart, and he's working a miracle. Amen? All right. He said, now notice, I want to just include this. You won't get discouraged. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? There's going to always be somebody that doesn't understand what you're doing. But if God told you to do it, do it. Amen? Just do it and just keep walking, because there's going to be a scent of detractors. There's going to be a frequency of detractors all around you and I. But you and I, we're not allowing that to affect us, because we're tuned into the shepherd's voice. We're tuned into him. And he's leading us and guiding us into all truth. And as he leads us and guides us, we're going to lead and guide others, and their lives are going to be forever changed. Amen? Okay, I just have to quit. I can't, but I just have to quit. So here's what we're going to, I want you to see this in your heart. See, be ye followers of God as dear children. That's what you and I have become, but there's children of the world, and they're following the world, and they're asking for things that they don't know that'll hurt them. And so, you and I, we can't be complacent, and we can't be, see, if we truly love people, we'll tell them the truth. And that's one of my weak areas that God's having to really deal with me and help me with, because I don't like to hurt people's feelings. I don't like to come across negative or self-righteous or bossy. But if you really love somebody, you won't let them stay where they're at. You'll tell them the truth. And so I'll close with this thought. We can't be like this lady. This lady, she was a well-to-do lady. She had plenty of money. And she had a child. And the child got up to be about 2 years of age, 2 or 3 years of age. And the child had a couple nannies. And so the mother really didn't have much to do with the child. And so this child was basically being raised by these nannies. Well, this one nanny was very diligent and tried to help the child. But when the other nanny would come on duty, she didn't love the child. She was just there for the paycheck. And so when the child got to crying and whining about different things, and so the mother hollered in there to that nanny. She said, "Would you shut that kid up?" I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "The kid's wanting some things he shouldn't have." She said, "I don't care. Give him whatever he wants so he'll be quiet." The nanny said, "Okay." All of a sudden, then there was quietness. And then about 30 seconds later, there was an intense scream that reverberated through the whole house. The frequency of pain and discomfort come through the whole house. And the mother hollered and said, "What happened?" The child got what it wanted. See, there was a red wasp that was flying around. The child wanted the wasp. See, that's the way it is with me and you. We know we've been stung by sin. We wanted it. We heard it. We felt it. It had an impact on our life. But there's so many, they don't see what sin is doing. But you have the opportunity and the ability to give them an alternative. where they don't have to be stung by the same thing that we were stung by. Amen. God is raising you up. Now listen, There is a door. Jesus Christ is the door, and He is coming in your life in a way that you've never been in His presence before. And there's a great change that's coming forth, and actually it's not coming, it's here right now at this moment. And God is wanting you to be in the place and the position that you see this door of change. And He wants you to see that He's going to give you an anointing to walk in and out of that door, Him, and bring people as you go in and as you go out. They're going to see the grace of God on you. They're going to see the sacrifice. They're going to see the love of God. They're going to see the plan of God. They're going to see the promises of God. And you're going to be able to help people come in to where they've never come in before. Amen? You've got to believe it, and you've got to be ready to act on it, because it's going to come in times that will be inconvenient. It's going to come in times when it's out of season. It's going to come in times when you won't even, you'll be so caught up in all the other things of the world, then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and it's going to change everything. Yesterday, struggling with some things, trying to walk and pray here in the church, and had opposition, a lot of things happening, and I was, Donna and I were getting ready to leave the church. She stepped right there, I stepped right here, and we were having just a normal conversation. When we stepped right here, the Holy Ghost come on her. When the Holy Ghost come on her, her face lit up like the sun. And I looked at her and I said, "What is wrong with you?" Because I knew something was fixing to happen. When she opened her mouth to talk, it jumped on me. And when it jumped on me, there was laughter that was uncontrollable. A joy. A joy. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. I'm gonna do what I told you I would do, but hold on to me. Amen? Come on now. So at the time you won't even know it. You won't even be expecting it. God's gonna reveal Himself. He's gonna manifest Himself to you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for this group of people. Thank You for this wonderful time. I ask right now, Lord, that spirit, soul, and body, that You just cause us to come under complete subjection to You, awaken us to the hope, to the anticipation, to the excitement that we have of Your Son being resurrected, Your Son being taught to us individually and corporately by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. I thank You that You're increasing our hunger for the Word, our thirst for the Word. You're giving us a love for the Word of God like we've never had before, and that's going to drive us deeper into Your will and Your plan. But Father, I ask You, that You just let us get Your mandate from heaven. Let us get Your desire to touch people with the truth. And let us see that there is going to be people that are drawn. They're going to come out from the smell of sin, and they're going to come into the goodness and the grace of God, all because of Your presence and Your power working in our lives. Father, let it be. We ask You in the name of Jesus. Would You come this morning and make Yourself an altar and say, "Lord, here I am. I thank You, Lord, for this timely word. I thank You for the reality of what You are saying into my spirit this morning. I thank You for the call of God. But I thank You that I recognize and realize that just because of You, I smell good. Just because of You, I have a title on my life. I have a name on my life. And that title and that name is going out of my life in ways that I never dreamed possible." Would You come and just accept that and worship Him in that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank You, Jesus.